West Grace Church, you blew me away this weekend. I was so happy to come and train the short-term team on Friday night and Saturday morning. And today, it was a special day to see all of you coming to worship the Lord, the servant King Jesus. Thank you, worship leader. Is it better? I don't have the height like Tom. So I always dream to have that kind of leadership skills, but yeah, it is really a gift. So today I want to share with you a topic, you give them something to eat. Lately I've been counting and looking back. This is our 21st year in the mission field. The Lord called us actually 25 years ago in 1999, and this is our family. I don't know if you guys can see it. Did you have a family picture? Did we miss it? It doesn't matter. If there is none, that's fine. We have a family of six originally. We have four children, and then the two older kids get married, and so we have eight now. So we feel that this is honestly a blessing to come back to have a family reunion. So today I said, you give them something to eat. Do you know there are only two miracles in the Bible that has been repeated in all four Gospels? Do you know which miracle? Which two miracles? Test your friends. Yes. The feeding of the 5,000 and another one. The Lord's resurrection, right? That's another important. So have you ever wondered why? Why would all four Gospels leaders, I mean the disciples, have to record this very simple miracle? You know, if I were John, maybe I would choose like something else, like eating, feeding. Can it be something bigger, more spiritual? Eating and drinking, is it spiritual enough to be recorded in four Gospels? I've always asked myself this question. I think the reason is because Jesus really cares for whether we are full or not. Like when we are hungry, it's a very practical need. So at that time, eating and drinking is a practical problem. And when people need, then Jesus feed them. But the interesting thing is, Jesus said, it's not just me feeding you, it's you guys. You give them something to eat. Because Tom has already given the reading. So I just have three roadmaps for you today. First part, Jesus has compassion on people's needs. Second, Jesus invites us to participate in his work. And third, Jesus multiplies what he gives. In fact, if you can combine three nouns, it should be compassion, participation, and multiplication. I want to challenge you when you read this familiar gospel to think about these three points today with me. Compassion. The word compassion is repeatedly mentioned in the Bible, especially about Jesus' action. When Jesus got off the boat, he saw this huge crowd and he has compassion. Now, you know the background is when they all ran away from the crowd, it's because they were very, very exhausted. They didn't even have time to eat. And so the background is Jesus sent the 72 out and they came back, reported, wow, even the demon just listened to us. And if you look at the other three gospels, the background of this miracle is John the Baptist was beheaded in prison. Jesus was very sad. Emotionally, spiritually, and physically, they were tired and exhausted, and they need some quiet time. So Jesus took the disciples to go, but guess what? Guess what? They all ran ahead of him and arrived where they knew that he would be there. And then Jesus got off and he saw and he had compassion on them. I looked up in the Greek dictionary because I have to take Greek as a demon student. Actually, I just graduate. Praise the Lord. The word compassion in Greek, I don't even know how to pronounce it, splachizomai, maybe. It actually means the stirring of the inward parts, literally the twisting of the intestine, to be moved with love in the deepest part of a person. Twisting of the intestine. I remember today, about 3 days ago, my daughter went into the bathroom with me at midnight, because you know sometimes when you get old, you have to get up at midnight to go to the bathroom. And we were living in our house, and we only had one bathroom we have to share. So I went to the bathroom, and she came in, and then she started pulling tissue paper out from the, you know, that roll. And she kept pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. I thought she had diarrhea. And I looked at her, what is wrong? And she said, Mom, I'm very sad. I said, why? Because I spent all my life in China and Thailand, and now I come back to Canada. I don't have friends. I felt lonely. I need to cry myself to sleep, so I need lots of tissue paper. So she kept pulling the tissue paper roll, and I looked at her. My intestines were twisted, and I couldn't fall asleep after I went back to my bed. I think compassion, when you looked at what Jesus has been doing in his ministry, his intestines have always been twisted. When he saw these people without food, not just without food, but without a shepherd, without knowing who he is, wandering about looking for something that will satisfy their needs. When I come to the city of Vancouver, guess what? I'm from Alberta, the champion of, what is that? The not yet, they said. I'm predicting. All right, we should not start this discussion. they're starting to like. The city of Vancouver is a beautiful city, but I saw a lot of people, actually a lot. They're running around finding their big houses or building their mansion. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They get lost in the purpose of life to build their financial kingdom, to build their comfort. But they forgot we were made for his glory, for his kingdom. So my intestines were twisted. In fact, the interesting thing, because I'm learning Thai, I need to learn Thai because I live in Thailand. And if you can read that, I'll give you a candy bar. Look at the Thai word. It means see your chest and see your heart. Hen ok hen zai. And ok in Thailand, in Thai word, means chest. So when somebody has compassion on you, they will see your chest. They will see what you need from the outside, but they also see your heart. Deep inside, what is your need? I know my daughter needs friends, needs community, because she was transitioning back to Canada after her whole life of living in the mission field. My intestines were twisted because I feel so sad. I was deeply moved when I saw her need, just like Jesus was deeply moved when he saw people's needs. Our God is a God full of emotion. He's not a robot. And a lot of the time we just think, huh, God, you're a robot. And in fact, in Thailand, they think Buddha, they call him God, is a robot, right? If you've done something wrong, you get punished, your karma will be bad. There's no emotion at all. But the God we believe, the God full of emotion, and his intestine will be twisted. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. So sometimes I wonder, why would all four Gospels recorded, Jesus has compassion on people? What is our ministry being driven by? Is it driven by guilt or by duty or by pride or by compassion? Many times, because we have been on the mission field for many years, and people look up, wow, you guys have three halos in your head. Don't you feel that missionaries have three halos? Did you guys think that? You know, I go out to serve people out of pride. And I reflect, no, Jesus doesn't want me to go out to serve people with pride or show off who I am. He wants me to be driven by compassion. He wants my intestines to be twisted. And guess what? 1999, that was the first time when my intestines were twisted when I went to serve in a short-term mission. So be careful when you were called to go to short-term mission. Be very careful. When you came back, your life will be totally hooked by Jesus. I woke up every morning and I was in tears. My intestines were twisted because I didn't know what to do for these street children. I saw them running around half naked without sandals, walking around without any purpose, playing a dead rat as a soccer ball. I was in tears, but I said, Lord, what can I do? And then I was taken to a missionary school who actually was founded by, the school was founded by a missionary couple who retired from Malaysia and spent $1 buying a land out of Cambodia, out of the city, Phnom Penh. And the Cambodian government is very happy to give that big piece of land to the couple, and they built three compounds, and they went to the streets in Phnom Penh and recruited 100 street children in the school. When I went in, I was like, wow, where did these children come from? And the couple said, oh, they were on the streets. I said, where are their parents? No clue. How old are you? When is your birthday? No idea. And then one of them said, when I accepted Jesus, that is my birthday. That was the first time my intestines were twisted and I was filled with God's compassion. I told Jesus a very simple prayer. I said, Lord, before I die, can I use my teaching gifts to serve people like this? That's my prayer. And that turned my whole life around. And now God sent us to Thailand, another place that twisted our intestine. There is spiritual bondage everywhere. We came and served here on weekend, on Saturday. They have an outreach center. This is where the playground. And when you look outside, you will see a big castle. It's not a castle. It's a big temple. They call it the White Temple. It looks very small from this angle, but in fact, when you drive up to the mountain, it's huge. I don't know how big it is, but it's really huge. And honestly, it's very beautiful. It looks like a castle. Many days, I really want to drive up all the way to the top. The Lord stopped me because it's not just a temple. There's a lot of spiritual power and darkness this temple represents, as if it's saying, this village of Bang Bong is mine. It's my territory. It's my area. Stop coming here. Stop sharing the gospel. Buddhism and animism is mixed in Thailand because people are afraid of the spiritual world. Where in the West, we deny the existence of spiritual world. But here in Thailand, they believe everything has a spirit. And if they don't please the spirit, they will be in trouble. So they build temples, they give to the monks, they sacrifice their time, they go into the temple and burn incense, hoping that the Buddha or some kind of spirit will bless their lives. My intestines were twisted. And also I saw broken homes, abusive homes, human trafficking. Human trafficking, you know, Thailand is a hub. They said it's one of the centers. People from Myanmar and all the other countries can ship their children or young people, ladies and gentlemen, will be shipped to Thailand and they can be sold into slavery. Whatever kind of slaveries you can think of. Some of them is sex slaves and some of them are fishermen slaves for life. I saw kids when I teaching them every day. I just asked them, hey, where are your parents? No idea. And then the other kids would say, where's your mom? Oh, she's working in Myanmar, or she's working in Korea. Where are you staying with? I don't know. I'm staying with my grandma. I'm staying with my uncle. I saw this brokenness thinking that I think it's because of the spiritual bondage and the curses that make families broken and abusive. Human trafficking is continuing in Thailand. I was very sad, and so I said, okay, Lord, I need to do something. And the Lord directed me and led us to go into this school last year, 2023. When I went into the school, then the school promised, I found out half the students come from backgrounds where they're at risk of being trafficked or suffering from other poverty-related difficulties. I guess in the city of Vancouver, it's very hard to see poverty. Sometimes you may see people on the streets. That's only a very small part. But in Thailand, you see poverty everywhere, although it's not the worst. There are countries way worse than Thailand. So when I walk into the school, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. Do you remember? I said, remember what? And then suddenly I remember. 1999, I told God, I need to do something for these marginalized children. And then the Lord said, you do something. You give them something to eat. So the School of Promise was started in 2010 by Joe Van Der Kooi, an American lawyer who has a heart for these marginalized kids. And they have 12 students in 2010. And to this day, we have 180 students. Jesus has always asked us to participate. Not just our heart, our intestines, our inner parts were moved, but also we need to participate. Because when you look at what all these four gospels, this is exactly what Jesus challenged the disciples. Matthew 14 says, it's not necessary to send them home. That's okay. It's not necessary to get them to buy their own food. You feed them. The Common English Bible said, you give them something to eat. As simple as that. Mark 6, 37 did the same thing. Jesus said, you feed them. Luke 9, same thing. You feed them. You give them something to eat. And John particularly reminded the readers that Jesus turned to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? You guys feed them. You guys feed them. Why? God, you feed them. Why us? We have nothing. I think God created us to partner with him. He always invited us to participate in his work. But what's the disciples' response? Matthew 14 said, we only have 5 loaves. And Mark said, with what? Jesus, are you out of your mind? With what? And then Luke said, we only have. And John, the same thing. There was only a young boy who only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And by the way, it's not the loaves from your Loblaw or TNT. It's a tiny little loaves, just like the little rock. And the fish, it's a tiny little fish that those boys will carry around for lunch in those days. So when God created us to partner with him, to participate in his work, I need to embrace my humanity. Many times I have to ask my husband, why didn't God create me to work 24 hours? I don't have enough hours. If I can work for 24 hours, isn't that great? Isn't that better? Why do I have to spend 8 hours or 9 hours, sometimes 10 hours sleeping because of my weakness? I have to embrace my humanity. And Jesus allowed that, and Jesus welcomed that. I do not have enough money, and I will never have enough money. All I have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus is not asking you to give him what you have when you have enough. He said, just find out what you have and give what you have. That's all Jesus asks us. He wants us to participate. And the interesting thing is, when Jesus collect all those bread, he distributed back through the disciples. Look at Matthew. Jesus gave the bread to the disciple, and then the disciples distributed back to the people. And Mark, the same thing. They distribute after Jesus gave them. And then Luke, the same thing. Jesus kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples so the disciples can distribute it to the people. Have you ever thought that maybe it's better for Jesus to, you know, just wave a wand and just, everybody eat, and then you drink, you're happy, go home, finish, easier. It's very mafan, you know, the Chinese word mafan, right? It's like, how many do you have? Give it to me. And then I pass it back to you. Do you distribute? Because Jesus invites us to participate. Compassion, participation. So we participate because God created us to participate. Since 2014, we went to China because at that time, my husband and me, my husband is a medical person, so he served with many marginalized burn patients. And we still remember those burn patients. They came to us like a charred barbecue pork. I'm not kidding. Some of them are so scarred, so burned, I can't even look at them. And I remember one of the parents of that kid. The kid was 12 years old. He was playing the fire. He was playing a match on the mountain during Chinese New Year. And he just like, oh, nobody plays with me. And he took the lighter, those cigarette lighters, and then start lighting those grass around him. And he got caught. And the minute he wanted to get out, he tripped himself and he fainted. He was burned, crisp. Like a barbecue pork. That's what his parents described. And then when Charles, my husband, came and helped them to clean the wound and help them to have some kind of orthotic, the devices, so they can open those overgrown joints, because they're like this, they're stuck. You know, if they don't have enough rehab, so the doctor also provide free surgery and cut open those joints. And then once those joints are cut open, you have to create an orthotic device to make that joint stretched out again. And finally, they can feed themselves because they are like this the whole day. So finally, the doctor helped them to open their joints and they can feed themselves and wipe their bottom. Serving these people is not fun, honestly. The smell, the gross wounds. Sometimes I just shiver when I look at them. But I feel that Jesus has compassion on these people, and so we should. So we serve those marginalized burned patients. We have a couple who is coming to the church, a very tiny little house church by the lake, and then they were struggling with drug and sex addiction. Not they, it's the men. And finally, they divorced, and eventually they said, no way, we're not living together because he's taking drugs, he's having sex addiction, I'm not staying with him. And after many months, we pray. And at the end, before we left China, we pulled two of them at night in front of a little iron wok. Bring all your whatever that you're addicted to, put it in that fire pit, and we burned it all for them. And we pray by holding their two hands and say, Lord, they are a couple. They're husband and wife. Nothing can divide them. Not drugs, not sex addiction. All these are burned in your name. And guess what? the year after we came back, they have a marriage ceremony. They reunite together. We praise God for using our 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't have a lot. And there was a divorced lady who was so depressed, selling the dendong, the motorcycle equipment and accessories under the bridge. I still remember when I was visiting her, I called her. I said, "Where are you? I'm biking to find you. I don't have a car, so I bike." And in China, it's not a fun thing to bike because, you know, you have so much dust. So I was biking and biking. And then I called her. I said, "Where are you?" She said, "Under one of those bridges." Are you kidding me? There's so many bridges in Kunming in the city. There is east, west, south. Which bridge? Well, the bridge that, you know, you go to. So I keep biking. I get lost. And finally, after half an hour, I found her. And from that day on, she trusted me. We developed a very long-term relationship. We help her to recover from her depression. And then in Thailand, we started serving the missionary children, children like my children, that they have to leave their hometown. They have to leave Canada. They have to leave their comfort zone to live in an unfamiliar environment. So the first 2 years, I taught the missionary children. Until this year, I started serving the marginalized children. I said, "Thank you, Lord, that you invite me to partner with you. This is my privilege. It is indeed my privilege to serve him and participate with him, even though, honestly, he doesn't need me." So this is what Jesus brings me to the last point, multiplication. His multiplication and blessings are beyond what we can imagine. The school already have 180 students. Many of them don't know God before, but when they came to the school, they found Jesus. Jesus challenged us, "You give them something to eat. You, not me. You give them something to eat." He's challenging you and me, number one, to have compassion for those around us. In the city of Vancouver, I don't know where and who you should, will have compassion. I believe this city has many people who need to hear the gospel and see your living as his disciple. Have compassion. Commit to the ministry, not because of duty or pride, but because of compassion. And also, participate in his work. Maybe you need to get out of the walls of the church, the comfort of this church. Go outside, participate in the short-term mission, or go outside to the soup kitchen or wherever. Participate in his work. Use your gifts, even though your gift is only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then, guess what? You will experience this abundant multiplication and blessing. Multiplication. This is my prayer. My prayer is that, Lord, we dream to buy a piece of land to build a secondary school. And then you know what I told Jesus? With what? We only have $1,000 or maybe $500. This picture is our school with only 3 simple buildings. And thank you, the short-term team is coming. 19 of you guys are coming. I'm so looking forward to you guys' firsthand experience how to reach out to these marginalized children and bring the love of Jesus and share the joy and the love of Jesus with them. So that's our dream. How do we fulfill? I don't know. How many do you have? This is all I have, and I give it all to Jesus. And I know he will multiply. He will multiply. And then I know one day we will build a secondary school because our school is already, there's no space. 180 students in this 3 little buildings. There's no space. We need another school. I don't know how it come true. I just trust he will multiply and he will bless. And there are over 60 students waiting to be sponsored in order to have a quality Christian education. Because the family cannot afford to pay their school fees, their lunch fees, their uniform fees, their books fees. So if they don't know the school, they may be kept at home and then finally sold into slavery. But praise the Lord. They know that there is a school who can allow those kids to come and listen to the gospel and also learn English and learn different subjects so they can grow up with a living and they can impact the next generation in Thailand. I don't know about you. What is your response? Do you have compassion for people around you? Do you want to participate in whatever way? I only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I give it to God and then God multiplies. I hope that you will experience his blessing and see how he multiplies what you give. Before I finish, there is a video I want to show you. This is a video of last year with the 15 years anniversary of our school. It's only a 4 minutes video, and it summarizes what we have been doing. And after that, I'll come up and pray with you. Okay, let's watch. Let's enjoy this video. So remember compassion, participation, and multiplication. I want to bless you. And I want to pray that we will all experience this miracle of 5 fish and 2 loaves. It's not a faraway, an ancient miracle that is just a story. It is totally possible that you experience today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this church. That 40-some years ago, you put this desire of starting this church among those people. You put this compassion in those founders' heart to build this church. And now 40-some years, you multiply, you build this church up because people are willing to participate. So Lord, may you continue to multiply what we give you. The 5 loaves and 2 fish that is so, so small, so insignificant. With what? But that's your heart, that you want us to give what we have, even though no matter how small, how insignificant. Father, may you continue to bless all of them, whether they're young or old, to know this principle and to experience your amazing blessing and multiplication. Thank you, Jesus. In your son's precious name, amen.